Hello, this is your Reverend Dr. Edwita Perry coming on with hashtag there is a word. Listen, I hope you all had a great Tuesday. I hope you had a great day. I hope you had a great resurrection weekend. I'm so glad I got to spend time with family and friends. So glad that I was able to spend time with my son. So I'm just excited about family time. I love spending time with my family. I love spending time with my family. Sorry that I'm moving this while I am on here, but for some reason I didn't position my camera right. But guess what? It's okay. Y'all know me. I am the Reverend Dr. Edwita Perry. Y'all know me. Y'all been knowing me long enough. Listen, if you would like to sow a seed, then you can sow it in Cash App, Divine and God, $, Divine and God. So for those of you that want to sow. All right. So we celebrate Holy Week. I waited after Holy Week to talk about this. All right. This month is Financial Literacy Month. Okay. So if you look at the back, bottom of the screen, I have the third level that says April is Financial Literacy Month. All right. So we're going to talk about some biblical principles. Y'all know me, not going to be on here long, but I do want to discuss some things and go through some scriptures to share with y'all. But look, y'all know how we do. If you're on Facebook, like, comment, and share. If you're on Facebook, like, comment, and share. Don't be stingy. Just check this out. If you're on YouTube, like, I need y'all to subscribe, like, comment, share. Share the link on YouTube with some of your friends. Share this information. Share this information. Again, this April is Financial Literacy Month. And tonight, we're going to talk about financial literacy from a biblical perspective, from a biblical perspective, okay? Y'all know how we do. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you, God. We love you. We thank you for the day. God, we thank you for all that you've done for us. God, you're so awesome and you're so wonderful. God, we give you glory and honor because you are our everything. And we appreciate everything you do. God, we dare not take you for granted and take advantage of all the things you do for us. So, Father, as we enter in, we pray over everybody's finances. We pray right now, God, that you will align their finances with your word. So, God, as we go into this, we ask that you reign on this Bible study. We love you, adore you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. All right, so it is Financial Literacy Month, all right? It is Financial Literacy Month. I do teach a class. I teach a class every fourth Saturday on financial literacy. It's only $20. If you would like to take the class, you just go to my website at divineandgodministries.com and you can register for the class and you get a free ebook with the class, okay? But you know, I really want to talk about this. We don't talk about this enough. We don't talk about this as enough about financial literacy from a biblical perspective. We don't teach our children a lot of about this. Many of our children struggle with operating in their finances because we don't sit down and talk to them about, but also we don't talk about it enough in the church. Now, let me say this. Many churches talk about financial literacy. Some churches don't. A lot of times when the churches do talk about it, people might immediately go to, oh, they just looking for more money. That's not the case, okay? God gives you 90%. All he asks is 10%. And so we don't talk about the biblical perspective of finances. So I'm going to give you some scriptures. I want you to go back and study these scriptures, okay? And I'm going to do this every Tuesday night in the month of April, the rest of the Tuesdays, I should say, the rest of the Tuesdays, I'm going to talk about financial literacy, all right? So you need to make sure that you, watch this, go back and read these scriptures and study these scriptures. All right, so here we go. All right, what is financial literacy? So the first thing is in the scripture that I put in Matthew, the sixth chapter, the 21st verse, it says, for where your treasure is there your heart will also be, okay? For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. Here we go. How we handle money is a true, true reflection of our heart's view of God. Watch this. We can either make money the focus of our lives or and draw away from God, or we can make money, or we can use money as a tool to honor God. Let me say it that way. Okay, let me restate it. You can either make money your focus and draw away from God, or you can use money as a tool to glorify or honor God. Okay, and so we're going to talk about this today. All right, so I got some money tips that I want to give you from the Bible. The first one, set priorities with your money. Set priorities with your money, all right? Set priorities with your money. Proverbs 24 and 27 said, put outdoor work in order, put your outdoor work in order and get your fields ready. After that, build your house. Let me say it again. Proverbs, the 24th chapter, the 27th verse. Put your outdoor work in order and get your fields ready. After that, build your house. All right, so let's talk about that. You know, a lot of people may say, ooh, that's surprising, or I'm kind of caught off guard by this scripture. But let me tell you, let me break this down. Your field in the scripture is your livelihood. This is the means of your survival. This is your livelihood, your fields. So he's saying your field is not just something you need to survive, but it's your means to survival. It is your livelihood. And like I was at my grandmother's this weekend. And so my grandmama likes to plant things and put things in the garden. And when my granddad was living, they used to be big farmers, all right? Watch this. If you're a farmer, your crops are your source of your livelihood, okay? If your field isn't properly planted, then you won't reap the benefits or you won't reap the harvest. And because you don't do that, then you can't live, all right? You won't have any money to live. You won't have any money. Watch this. You won't even have money to build a house. So that's why he said, put your outdoor work in order and get your fields ready. After that, build your house. So the first thing you need to do is set priorities. That's number one, all right? Number two, make a budget. It is so many people that don't have a budget. I talk to so many of my friends. You know what? I'm going to tell you this. If I was married, my husband would be mad at me because I would not be spending and blowing my money. I would have so much money in the bank. He'd be looking at me like, oh, you've been stacking your money? Yep, sure have. I said it. Sure have. I've been stacking my money. So the second thing you want to do is make a budget. Luke, the 14th chapter, 28 through the 30 verse. Luke, the 14th chapter, 28 through the 30 verse. Okay. This is what it says. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you, saying this person began to build and wasn't able to finish. This scripture right here is biblical in saying budget. This is the biblical way of saying budget, okay? First of all, you know the need to cover the cost of necessities. But also, we have to also know that we have necessities, all right? But in order to take care of your necessities, you have to budget. You just can't go spending on a whim and just doing things and spending money. Let me tell you, and God says in everything, pray. Pray about everything before you make a purchase. Stop purchasing out of emotions. Always pray. So watch this. You making $600 a week and you know it costs you $50 a week to go to gas, and you know you got to pay your tithes or your offering. And, you know, and if you're doing your tithes, it's 10% of your $600. So that's $60. Gas is $50. So what I'm saying is make sure you budget everything. It's not a matter of trying to keep up with every penny, but you got to budget. You just can't be all over the place. All right. So budget. I want you to go back and study that scripture, Luke, the 14th chapter, 28 through the 30 verse. All right. The next scripture I want you to do, build an emergency fund. Build an emergency fund. Here we go. You want the scripture? Genesis, the 41st chapter, 34 through the 36. Watch this. Genesis, the 41st chapter, verses 34 through 36. This is what it says. Let Pharaoh appoint commissioners over the land to take fifth of the harvest of Egypt during the 7 years of abundance. They should collect all the food of these good years that are coming and store up grain under the authority of Pharaoh to be kept in his cities for food. This food shall be held in reserve for the country to be used during the 7 years of famine that will come upon Egypt so that the country may not be ruined by famine. Build an emergency fund. It amazes me the number of people that don't have an emergency fund. I don't care if it's $500. That's your emergency money. Like, I don't care. Have an emergency fund. That's scripture. I just read that to you. Here we go. Four. Ready for four? Avoid debt. Avoid debt. Now, there is good debt and there's bad debt. I always tell people good debt is you purchasing a house, but if you can pay for it out your pocket, glory to be to God. We understand it. College, going to college, that's good debt. Okay? There is good debt, but now let's go here. Now, going to charge everything, oh, I'm going to go get this. I'm just going to buy the new car because the new car came out. No, that's unnecessary debt, especially if your car is taking you and bringing you. Why go get in debt? Now, if you have prayed and God has said, you know what, I want to bless you, God will talk to you about that. You talk to God about it. But my thing is, make sure you pray. So number four is avoid debt. Here we go. Here's your scripture. Proverbs 22:7. The rich rule over the poor and the borrower is slave to the lender. Proverbs 22nd, the 7th verse. Avoid debt. This particular proverb, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to understand what it means. It describes debt is a type of slavery. And you know what? Many Americans, when we had COVID, they agreed. I was in all this debt. I own my own business. Bam, COVID happened. And I wasn't able to do my business like I normally, and I found myself being a slave to the debt because I couldn't make my revenue like I normally do. So let's be careful with that, okay? There's a survey. I'm not sure how recent the survey is. It said 80% of all Americans are in debt, and majority of the oldest Americans are still carrying on debt from retirement. That's scary. So let's avoid debt as all possible. Here we go. Five. Diversify your investments. Ecclesiastes 11:2. Diversify your investment. Ecclesiastes 11:2. Invest in seven ventures. Yes. In eight, you do not know what disaster may come upon the land. Oh, God. Ecclesiastes 11:2. Invest in seven ventures. Yes. In eight. Yet you do not know what disaster may come upon the land. This land, this particular scripture from Ecclesiastes is short, clear, and precise and to the point. Diversify your investments, okay? Don't just invest in one place. Invest in many other things. Like I now have two businesses. I've invested in my business. I invest in And I eventually want one of them to grow to a company. And that's my vision for it. So do this. Invest in here. All right. Some people say diversifying is a myth. They claim that you can earn much better by putting all your eggs in one basket. As long as it's the right basket. But guess what? It doesn't take a true genius, especially since we're coming out of COVID, to figure out that we got to be cautious of putting our money in one particular place. Okay. So also, again, let the Holy Spirit lead you. Let the Holy Spirit guide you and all of that. All right. So here we go. Six. Ready for six? Reduce risk as you age. Reduce risk as you age. Ecclesiastes, the 5th chapter, the 13 to 14 verse. Okay, watch this. Here we go. I have seen a grievous evil under the sun, wealth hoarded to the harm of its owners, or wealth lost through some misfortune, so that when they have children, there is nothing left for them to inherit. Reduce risk as you age. Your children should not be going to the credit, the finance company, to bury you. Your children should not have to go to the finance company to bury you because you want to wear Gucci, Louis, buy the, every new pair of Air Jordans and all of that. I love nice things. God wants us to have nice things. But don't have your family where they are going to a finance company to borrow money to get you the funeral that you deserve. Don't do that. Reduce risk as you age. Come on. So in this particular Ecclesiastic, a father loses everything on a bad investment and has nothing to leave his son. Go study it. And y'all don't take the gist of son. It's whether you son, daughter, you know, yeah, we like to so much focus on gender, but just understand, son, we all a sonship of Jesus, okay? So don't dissect it. Oh, it didn't say nothing about the daughter. It's saying sonship, all of us, okay? He had a bad investment. Y'all, we make some bad investments. Oh, I got to have the new Jordans. I got to get in line for the Jordans. Got to get in line for this. I bet you some people wish they had all the money for every pair of Jordans, every pair of Nikes, every pair of Adidas, every pair of Under Armour, any of that, name brands, Polo, and all of that and all of that. Y'all, we have got to reduce the risk for our children. Don't leave your children in debt. Some of us don't even have insurance policies, outside insurance policies, to bury us. You'll leave your children here scrambling, trying to bury you. That's not fair to them. They can't grieve and bury you. That's not fair. Are we doing a GoFundMe? Y'all, listen, this is one thing I do not like when people putting up a GoFundMe, but then they carrying a Louis Vuitton purse or they got an Apple MacBook or they got the Apple iPad or the latest iPhone, but they putting up a GoFundMe to bury their loved ones. Oh my God, that's embarrassing. Don't do that. Reduce risk as you age. Don't be making bad investments in all these different things. Now, I have a friend, they invest in Rolex, but guess what? They take the Rolex and flip them. They find Rolex and they find them for like 10, maybe $6,000, $7,000, but they can flip them. Or maybe one I know they bought for $10,000. And when they bought it, this particular couple, when they bought it for $10,000, they flipped the Rolex somewhere else. They flipped it for like $25,000. So if you're going to do that, invest in those things, okay? Make sure it's an investment. But don't leave your family here doing all that. You ain't got, I said it ebonically, you ain't got no life insurance. None. That's ridiculous not to have life insurance. Your children don't need to be grieving and trying to figure out how they're going to pay for your funeral. That's selfish. So don't be selfish with it. All right, the last one. Ready? Make a financial plan. Here's something that I really want to teach y'all. Make a financial plan. Stop living on the whim. You cannot, I'm going to say this, okay? I'm going to say this as the mathematician. I'm going to say this. Math is my background. You got to make a plan. Create a plan of action. You got to have a financial plan. You can't just, oh, I'm going to do this. Oh, I'm going to do that. Write it down, make it plain so you can run with it. Good God from Zion. That's Habakkuk 2:2. Go read that scripture. We so busy, I got to make it plain. You got to make it plain, write it out, make it plain so you can run with it. You can't run with it when you all over here. And when you're making a plan, you can't have everybody in your ear helping you. It just amazes me. We'll go to 25 different things trying to get help from people. And some of those people, you know what? I'm going to be honest. Some of those people that are trying to help you, they don't even have a plan themselves. Get with somebody that you see that have a plan. So make a financial plan. Here we go. Proverbs, the 21st chapter, the 5th verse. The plans of the diligent lead to profit as surely as haste leads to poverty. Good God from Zion. Y'all know I was going to back it up with a scripture. When you're making haste decisions, you are keeping yourself in a circle. You're just going in a circle. And it's a dog and pony show. It's a dog and pony show. You're not accomplishing anything. Oh, I'm going here. I'm going there. And then, this is what I tell you. Reading is powerful. Sit down and read books. Barnes & Noble, Books A Million. Read. It, you know what? Go to the public library and sit in there and read. So we need to stop. Stop just living in haste when it comes to our financial. So make a financial plan. First thing with a financial plan, you're going to identify your goals. Second, evaluate your situation around you. Okay, now let me go here. When I say evaluate your situation, because I've been here and I'm speaking from experience. When you're working a part-time job, your part-time job shouldn't be helping you pay your bills. Let me go here. Your part-time job shouldn't be helping pay bills. You know why? If you lose that part-time job, what are you going to do? It was obvious. Y'all, if COVID didn't teach us anything, you can't depend on income. You never know when you'll be shut down. What you have to do? What I had to learn, my part-time job became my gravy money. You know what my gravy money? Easy money that I slid over here to the side. It was money that I was saving. It became emergency money. It became, oh, I can't spend this. Just because you got a part-time job and you can't be on here. And I'm going to tell you one of the places. Now, I'm going to go here as the preacher. This is one of the places that we tend to see this at. We see this in our churches, in our music ministries. Ooh, y'all don't want to talk about that. You don't want to talk about that. We see this in our music ministries in church. I got a church. And guess what? When church closed down, many people were hurt because they depended on that. I'm just saying, y'all don't like what I'm saying because I'm talking real. But, I'm being real. Okay? Your gravy money is money you earn, but you don't rely on it. You don't rely on it. You don't operate under your budget with gravy money. You don't. That's a slang song. And gravy money is another word for passive income. So you can't do that. I saw so many musicians crash because they depend on what the church was paying them. And then when churches went in there, they were looking around. Don't do that. Don't allow that. Don't allow your gravy money to become part of your regular money. It shouldn't. It should help you get out of a hole, but not for you to go and create more debt. All right. So here we go. I'm talking about make a financial plan. I'm giving you two steps so far. Here's the third step. The third step is list steps to take. You got to list steps out. I'm a list person. Write it out. I got to write it out. You know, there's some business moves that I'm making now that I can't even tell people because I don't need everybody in my ear. Some things I'm trying to work out, but I'm having to make a list. Guess what? Even when I'm at work and a list comes, I just pick up my phone and put it in my phone until I can get home to put it in my journal. I have a journal for each of my companies that I own. I have a journal because I write down things of what I want to do. All right. So this is what we're talking about. Watch this. Without a financial plan, you're just drifting through life. You're just drifting and you're not earning anything. You don't have anything. You cannot function with that. Okay, you cannot. And I'm going to go here. When your spouse is doing a good living, you can't be, they can't be bringing it in, then you taking it out and throwing it on everything else. I'm telling you, Amazon gets some of us in trouble. Amazon gets some of us in trouble. I was talking to my brother and my sister-in-law about, because I'm single, I have to be very careful because I don't have accountability problem. Don't buy this, don't do this. So I have to set my money in places that makes me accountable. Set it in places I can't get it, okay? So I want you to go back and catch the replay, okay? So watch this. Listen. I want you to understand that money is not the evil. It's the love of money. The love of money is the root of all evil. People misquote that scripture, okay? But I want you to know this. Don't wear yourself out trying to get rich. Do not trust your own cleverness. Cast but a glance at riches and they are gone, for they will surely sprout wings and fly off in the sky like an eagle. So listen, that's Proverbs 23:4-5. I want you to go read that. Let me read it again. Do not wear yourself out to get rich. Do not trust your own cleverness. Cast but a glance at riches. They are gone, for they will surely sprout wings and fly off to the sky like an eagle. Okay. So that's Proverbs, the 23rd chapter, the 4th through the 5th verse. I'm going to give you the scripture. I just said it. 1 Timothy 6:16. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from their faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Okay, so this is what you need to do. Be wise. Be wise. Take wise counsel. Seek God on what you need to purchase, buy, or invest in. You know, pray that he send right financial advisors in it. But we cannot continue to just live it on the whim or in a haste, okay? So let us pray. Father God, I love you, God. You're so awesome. You're so wonderful. God, we give you glory and honor. God, we thank you because you are our everything. And God, we come in for you, asking for forgiveness when we abuse our finances, asking for forgiveness when we mishandled our finances or didn't use them correctly, forgiving us when we didn't pay our tithes and offering, God. So forgive us. Forgive us. That's all we can ask. Forgive us, God. And God, create us a clean heart and renewing us a right spirit when it comes to our finances. God, we love you. We adore you. It's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen, 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 amen. Listen, y'all know how we do. This is your Reverend Dr. Judy Perry. Listen, if this lesson bless you and you would like to sow a seed, you can sow in $Cash App, Divine in God. Please share this broadcast. I'm going to be talking about this every Tuesday, the rest of the Tuesday this month, and just going on some things, okay? Listen. I kept it under 30 minutes because I knew it was going to take a while, so I'm about to get off. Listen, I love you. Have a glorious day in the Lord and give grace to receive grace. I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.